Hey everyone, before we get into today's special Friday edition of the Work in Sports podcast, a couple of quick notes I want to share with everyone. Number one, we developed this really robust curriculum focused on the strategies and tactics everyone should learn and utilize to get hired in sports. We've been marketing it to colleges and universities. We've been selling it directly on our site. And, you know, last month when all this craziness started happening, we talked as a team and said, let's make another version of this. Let's make an abridged version of this curriculum and give it away for free. So we've done that. Academy Essentials is 100% free to all Work in Sports users. Whether you have a paid account or a free account, it's there for you. So use it. Check that out. Number two, you also may be wondering, why should I visit workinsports.com right now? With no games, there must be no jobs. Well, that would be false. In the last week, we've added 183 sports jobs, active sports jobs. Now, that's way off our average. I'm going to be completely transparent here. We're usually averaging closer to 75 fresh sports jobs a day. And we added 183 last week. So things have slowed down. We're being honest. But there are jobs and there are opportunities out there. So if you need work, we have the opportunities. Come check out workinsports.com. In addition to that, which brings me to my third point, starting next week, we're also going to make all part-time jobs free to access again for all users. We know many of you working game day events have been furloughed or laid off, so we're making access to all of the seasonal and part-time jobs free on our site. And finally, number four, look for an email from us early next week. We are dramatically dropping the price of a Work in Sports membership so that we can serve you better. Yes, we are a service site. We provide a value of finding all of the sports jobs and putting them in one place for you. We have 8,000 employers we work with, tons you've probably never even heard of. You wouldn't even know their jobs would exist unless it was for our hard work. So yes, we pay a fee to be a part of our site. So that's a service. But we are dramatically dropping the price to help you as best as we can during this time. So please know, workinsports.com as an organization cares about you, and we're doing everything we can to help. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at workinsports.com, and this is a special Friday edition of the Work in Sports podcast. So I want to be really honest with all of you right now. I started doing these extra Friday episodes to talk about specific things as they relate to our current crisis. So again, Mondays will still be answering a fan question. Wednesdays will still be an expert interview. But then on Fridays, either I'm going to interview or talk to someone directly about how the business of sports is changing due to the coronavirus outbreak, or share some tip or advice that I think is especially relevant at this time. So today, I don't have an interview. I have a concept that I want to talk about. And I want to be really honest with you about all of it. So I'm not one of those guys that always tries to act like they have all the answers and that their model for doing things is perfect. I get kind of annoyed when I see those quote unquote motivational speakers who always have all the answers. They're never sad. They're never conflicted. The world always appears very black and white to them, and they are the only ones who know where the right color is. When you know in reality, you know, backstage they're popping pills to get them ramped up, or they have a failed marriage for cheating on their spouse, or they're miserable in their day-to-day. I'm not trying to sound overly dramatic, and I'm not trying to generalize, and I'm not trying to accuse anyone of anything. I just know that life isn't always that clean. Not all motivational speakers are frauds, but a lot of them are, and frauds is a strong word, and I'm sorry for that, but I'm just being really raw and honest today, okay? All that is really inauthentic to me. To come out and preach a system acting as if the sun is always shining in your world, and we all know that it's not. So, I'm not trying to be a downer, just trying to be honest. I try to be honest here. There are things I am very confident in, and I speak on them as often as I can, with all the authority that I can. But I am far from really having anything figured out. We're all learning every day. And this week was tough. It was tough. We can all say that, right? I think we have to be honest with each other and say, like, okay, I mean, it's not always feeling sunny and shiny. There are days that are hard. There are weeks that are hard. And this is a tough period for everyone. I'm personally struggling with motivation and focus, speaking honestly again. So trust me, this is not going to be a conversation of, I've got this all figured out. Come follow me. Again, I'd find that inauthentic. But I am going to share with you some of my process for solving this problem. It's always something I believe in strongly. It's don't complain, don't whine, figure out the problem and solve it. Sometimes it's easier said than done. Sometimes it takes a little extra work. You know, hey, this is a conversation where it's, hey, I know I'm struggling with this, which means you are likely also struggling with it. So let's see if we can figure some things out together. So what do we do? What can we do to help with motivation? Well, let's get back to what I said earlier about fixing the problem, identifying the problem and fixing the problem. Monday and Tuesday were really tough for me. Nothing dramatic, I just wasn't feeling it. So I actively decided on Wednesday to spend that day self-analyzing. What are the differences now versus during times that I am super motivated? And, you know, compare and contrast. Right now, I feel like the procrastination king, but I don't know, 2 weeks ago, I didn't. So what's different? Other than the obvious, what's the difference? Okay, so I spent a lot of day Wednesday trying to figure that out. Because again, I like to get to the root of things and figure out what's different. The first thing I realized is overthinking is my big problem. And just, I'm going to relate these things to you and see if they stick. Like, does this feel like something you should explore? Does this feel like something you should have a conversation with yourself about? So let's talk about it. Overthinking is a huge problem for me. When I give myself too much freedom to decide my next move, that's when I start to see too many options and choose none. Without deadlines and schedules and some sort of a mandate, I fall off. This made a lot of sense as I started to think about this because I came up in the industry working in a highly deadline-focused world. Without it, without that pressure to finish in a certain time frame, I drift. And once I drift, it's hard to get back on track. Any of this ringing true for any of you else out there? In the past, I've discussed this as learning how to work in space. Not literally space, like the moon and stars, more like a left tackle, okay? Because I relate everything to sports. So why did left tackles make so much money in the NFL? Well, because usually they are on an island by themselves against the other team's best pass rusher. A guard has help on the left or right, same with the center. They have structure around them. A tackle, they have to be able to work in space and cover more ground. There's more that they have to do, and they have to generate all of the knowledge and expertise and all the knowing what happens next on their own, right? They have to predict and see and adjust and use their technique, and there's nothing else around them to give them structure, okay? Same thing as a person. We have times as entry-level employees or mid-level managers where everything is structured for us. Daily expectations abound. Make these calls, edit these videos, design these advertisements. Then we advance to higher levels, and we are the ones setting the to-dos, building the strategy, pushing the business forward with more projects and ideas. That's when we have to learn how to work in space. This all gets back to the larger point. Scheduling yourself is connected to your overall focus and motivation, giving yourself structure because you put your decision-making on autopilot by giving your goals and time a time and place to be executed. Okay, so I found that, I want to repeat that again. When you give yourself the schedule, when you schedule yourself and give you yourself some structure, you put your decision-making on autopilot. They have a time and place to be executed. Your goals have a time and place to be executed, right? Okay, I found this quote and it struck a nerve with me. If you waste resources trying to decide when or where to work, you'll impede your capacity to do the work. So don't, again, this would get back to my problem of overthinking. I'm sitting there, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, oh, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this other thing, I guess I could do that. Maybe this thing would be good for me to do. By the end of the time, I haven't done anything. It's like a paralysis by analysis. But if I structure myself If I give myself like I'm an interior guard and I give myself something on the left and right, that keeps me focused on what's in the middle and I get more done. So again, if you waste your time trying to decide when or where to work, you'll impede your capacity to do the work. Not bad. Makes a lot of sense. So, okay, a schedule. Stay on task. Have your priorities and the daily things you want or need to accomplish. Got it. What's next? Well, I also observed in myself that during my standard routine, let's call it pre-COVID, when I was still highly motivated, I had things that broke up my day even just slightly. I didn't sit at my computer for 8 hours straight, but recently I've been trying to do that and it has backfired astronomically. I need changes throughout my day. I need to have highly focused 45 minutes and then shift gears for 15 minutes. This makes me feel really motivated and focused for the next 45 minutes. Drifting from that was something I didn't even realize I was doing. So the later half of the week, I've been getting back outside, taking a walk, going for a short run, reading a book, messaging a friend, anything to break the mold here and there. Okay, so next, what else? Habits, routines. I don't think of myself as a creature of these processes, but the more habits I form, the more it actually frees me up to be creative in other ways. I need those creative times, but it's the routines that make it possible. Okay, I'll explain. I keep thinking of something Katie Gillen, manager of social media for Atlanta United, told me on the podcast. She said that she and her team do a lot of research and planning so that they can be freed up to be creative. The two work hand in hand. That stood out to me for a really long time, is that I've always been somebody who felt like that, you know, routines or habits were the antithesis of creativity, but that's not it. It's really not. By forming a habit to plan and structure their activities, that allows them the time to be creative. Structure isn't the antithesis of creativity, it actually allows for it. I'm reading a book right now. It's one of the best I've ever read. It's fantastic. It's called The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay by Michael Chabon. It won the Pulitzer Prize and it's deserving. It's fantastic. But I did a little research. I always like to do this. I like to do a little bit of research into the author. I want to know a little bit more about them too, if it's a book that I really like. And his process was that he wrote every night between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. That was his structure. That's what he gave to himself to say, this is when it will happen. And that was what allowed him to create the masterpiece. He gave himself the structure to be creative. So since we're talking about habits, well, how do you even form habits? Again, this is always kind of coming about through my introspective Wednesday, which makes it sound like I went out to some, I don't know, cabin in the middle of the woods and smoked peyote all day or something, but I didn't. I just kind of sat around and tried to figure these things out and took some notes on my normal experience. And I don't know, things came to the forefront. So forming habits, three steps. Okay. Number one, make the routine super simple to start, right? Don't go crazy. It has to be repeatable. It has to be something that you can have this desire to do again because it wasn't so awful. So I had a friend once who was trying to lose weight and they said, doing Weight Watchers and Chef Boyardee, those little like canned SpaghettiOs were only 1 point or something in the Weight Watchers system. And he's like, I'm just going to eat these all the time. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. It's not sustainable. Like, you're not going to just eat Chef Boyardee for the rest of your life. That's disgusting. You know, like, even if Weight Watchers gives it only 1 point, it's still not good for you. You're not going to be able to sustain this. So again, starting a new routine, start with simple, right? Get something that can be really easy to be your daily trigger. So if you're starting a new running habit, make sure you start the same way every day. You know, getting on the outfit or putting on your running shoes or stretching out your hamstrings for 5 minutes before, something really simple. Number two, make a time commitment. Give yourself a slot in your schedule for this to happen. Whether it's a running routine or whether it's a creative routine or whether it's your social media routine or whatever it is, give yourself a time commitment, stick to it. And three, connect it all to a final goal. Give yourself something that you can see at the end that is of great value and accomplishment. By starting this routine, this will happen. By making this a habit, I'll reach this point. And that will start to give you some motivation, or at least some inspiration to make these things happen in your life. I've found for me over my life that when I'm feeling my worst, instead of pushing harder or expecting myself to snap out of it, I look to the past. It's kind of like a pitcher where, you know, they can't find the plate. Like they're pitching, they're in a slump. They can't find the plate. They're walking everybody. What do? They go back to the video and look for things that they were doing different before when they were highly functioning. So they go back to look at that game that they pitched a shutout and they say, oh, see, look, I'm dropping my shoulder or my plant foot's landing 6 inches to the left or whatever it is. They look to the past to get themselves back on track. I do that too. I look to my past of when I was highly functioning to figure out why I'm not now. And that's part of the routine that all of you should function, that you should incorporate into your life as well. I always mentally analyze what has changed for me and try to make the appropriate adjustments. Now, what became clear as I went through this activity that I thought was about finding motivation or inspiration, it wasn't really about that at all. You know, I kept expecting there would be a moment like Rocky music would start playing in the background and I get all fired up and I'd be ready to act like, oh, okay, I'm snapped out of it. I'm ready to go. But that is short-lived. How many times have you seen a movie or a champion of some sort or a great guitar player or a war hero? And for a moment afterwards, you feel like dedicating yourself to whatever it would take to reach their status. That's fleeting. That motivation or inspiration goes away. What we are truly looking for is establishing good, consistent habits. When we formulate these habits, we bypass the need for motivation. We go right past it because we achieve by following our own lead. This was a really big moment for me, a moment of clarity and realization to realize it's not really even about motivation or inspiration. Those are very temporary things. The more you can give yourself some structure, some expectations, some habits, some goals, the more you'll stay on course because it becomes part of you. Since our kids have been out of school, this was a really big moment for me. Since our kids have been out of school, we designed exacting schedules for them. Now, it wasn't because of this conversation I'm having with you now. This was just what we decided we had to do when they finished, you know, March 14th, their teachers are telling them they're not coming back for a while. We're like, okay, we got to put them into some sort of structure. We, you know, build them a schedule from this to this. You'll do these math projects from here to here. You'll do science from here to here. You'll take a break outside. And you know what? They've been thriving in this scenario because it was very school-like for them. All the while, as this was happening, as I was setting the structure for my family to thrive, I had nothing like that for myself. I was thrown out of whack and was floundering. It wasn't until I investigated myself and understood what had changed that I personally turned a corner. So all of you right now that are struggling in any form of focus or motivation or anything really, right? Be self-analytical right now. Understand what motivates you and what's different now from when you are feeling your best. Find habits you can create for yourself and stick to them. That's how we will all persevere through change. All right, everyone. I know it got a little heavy today, but have a great weekend. Stay safe and keep your distance.